Silent prayer as we prepare to worship the Lord our God. Please stand then for the call to worship. Today from 2 Chronicles 7:14, as God said to Solomon after the building of the temple, he said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your mercies, that you are the faithful God we rely upon, and so we must at all times. And even though we are not Israel of old, your nation or people in that way, yet the principle that your people, believers, can cry out to you and be heard is certainly the reality that you have declared to us. And we do praise you for the freedoms, the blessings we have in this land as we think of that and how you brought it to pass. But we cry out to you for your continued mercies and your direction. Help us to trust in you, to hear your holy word, and that you would guide our nation, that we would be turned away from our sins and led according to your righteousness in greater measure. We pray for that, O Lord, for your glory and for our good. Again, forgive our sins, increase our faith. May we be a thankful people, thankful for salvation in Christ above all, and serve you gladly. And be good citizens even as we seek to serve you in all gratitude. Thank you for your mercies. Guide us by your grace and spirit that we would worship you rightly and hear your word. Again, forgive our sins, increase our faith for the sake of Christ alone as we ask it all in his holy name for your glory. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us confess the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And let us turn to our first hymn, number 710, God of Our Fathers.
Thank you.
is our God, the God of the Scriptures, who is always sovereign and good, who raises up nations and can bring them down. And we depend upon His mercies as we live in this land, truly. The Psalter reading today is number 127, page 853. Again, a psalm of ascents, this one of Solomon, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep.
Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth.
Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. What is interesting is this is a psalm of, written by Solomon, when he was the one the Lord used to build the temple at Jerusalem, the first temple there. As he says, however, the Israelites were not to depend on having that building, that place for coming together to worship God. If he did not build the house or the city or the land, whatever it is, it would all be in vain. Even the watchman trying to look out in case an enemy would come, well, it would all be in vain if not for the Lord's mercy, as God could overcome and overrun a city as he did because of the sins of the Israelites at last. It's vain for us to depend upon ourselves, anything we can do, but we can look to the Lord our God, who cares for us, certainly cares for His children through the Lord Jesus Christ, and who gives us physical children as a heritage from Him. The fruit of the womb is a reward. We are to be thankful and serve Him, trusting God, and may we see His covenant working in our lives, in our families, as well as in our land. Our catechism reading today, then, is Lord's Day 22, page 867. Questions and answers 54 through 56. Oops, excuse me, 57 to 58 today. What comfort do you receive from the resurrection of the body? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like the glorious body of Christ. Again, that is the believer's hope, that confidence. We know all, as Jesus said in John 5, will be raised up from the dead when he calls his voice. We'll have that power, that effect. But the Christian will be raised up with a glorious body, made like unto Christ, indeed to be with God forever. And that glorious life we look forward to because He has won our salvation. Question 58, what comfort do you receive from the article life everlasting? That, inasmuch as I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, I shall after this life possess complete blessedness, such as eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, therein to praise God forever. That eternal life will be glorious indeed beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. It is beyond any description of man. It has not entered into man's thoughts or mind, but it is what the Bible proclaims to us, what God assures, what God promises to all true believers, that we shall be with the Lord God in a perfect world to come, yes, to praise the triune God forever. Thanks be to God for such assurances that we have through the gospel, through trusting in Jesus, who gave his life at the cross, who was raised from the dead after he won that victory over sin, Satan, and death. And so we have that assurance for this life and for eternal life as we look to him in true faith. And again, as God's people, he invites us to worship and to cry out to him, to hear his word, and to pray to him. And so let us join together in our time of congregational prayer. Again, O Lord our God, we know you are the faithful one. We know you are great and glorious, the sovereign. Lord God Almighty, you made heaven and earth by your power, by your word of command. It is all for your glory shall always be, even the new heaven and earth, which will be recreated to have that perfection. And there will be no more temptation or sin, suffering, pain, tears, or death then for your people. We look to that glorious life to come. We trust you even how you have provided that salvation in Jesus, as he is the only one who could have obeyed in every thought, word, and deed, the one who has done that, even bearing the wrath of God as well for your people. He did that on the cross, taking infinite punishment upon himself that we might have his victory as we rest in him by repentance and faith. Oh Lord, we thank you for your goodness, as you have proclaimed it, as you have provided it, and it is all fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, and we look forward to that glorious life to come with you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Again, turn us away from our sins, lead us as your children, that we would seek your righteousness, that we would show our gratitude all the days of our lives. We thank you for your mercies to us as we have experienced them continually, while even in this life. We thank you for your faithfulness to this congregation and our denomination. We pray we would be true to your word, O Lord, to hear it, to submit ourselves to it, and to resist the ways of evil, the ways of the devil and the evil world and our own fallen nature that we still struggle against all our life long while here. We do pray you would guide and direct us to more fully proclaim the gospel of grace and to follow after it, and that many others might be won to Christ, have that life in him alone, that you have provided that one way of redemption. We thank you for the ability even that we have to gather and to worship, to hear your word. We can do that in freedom without fear of being arrested and so forth, as in many lands. We thank you for our heritage in our nation, even that our founding documents are based upon the principles of your word in so many ways. We know that is the truth, that is reality, and we praise you for it. May we be turned back to you, and when we have gone astray from your word and even our own documents, we thank you for your faithfulness. We do pray for our governmental leaders, president, Congress, and judges of the land, that all would seek to do your will. And may they submit themselves to that truth, the principles of the scriptures, and that we would have peace and righteousness in greater measure. We thank you for how you have provided, though, and we praise you that your word has gone forth in our land and in other nations as well. We pray that you would be continually honored, O Heavenly Father, as we look to the scriptures and seek to show that gratitude in following you. We do cry out to you, O Lord, at this time for rain. We pray for your mercies, O Lord, with the need with crops and land. We pray for your blessing, O God, in that way, that you would be honored and that you would provide for us according to your mercies. And so, again, we look to you in your sovereign hand and your good will. Thank you for answering prayers in so many ways throughout all our times in this life. And we thank you that this life is not our home. It is brief. It is limited. We know that. But we have the gospel comfort as we look unto Christ and rest in him. We do pray for the family of Hilma at this time and ask for your mercies to be with each one. With Iris, certainly with her father, and as Dean mourns, and Dave as he has the recovery time from his hip surgery. We pray for your mercies for each one. And thank you for how you provided even with the funeral and all things. And may your name continually be praised as they remember her in gratitude. Be with Zach and Alicia and family, certainly as they care for Zach's father, David. We pray for your power to be manifest in his life also, and that he might turn unto you and have peace and comfort. And bless them, O Lord, as you are the God who is powerful and good. Be with Monty Lucinda as they care for Melvin also. Be with Adasa and Joshua, baby Eve, and this new baby she is carrying, due in January. We pray for your blessings, and you'll guide and provide, protect them. Again, we pray for other believers in various lands of the world, the Philippines and Africa, elsewhere, that they might hear your word and be blessed by you. Certainly that any persecution of Christians might be stopped, and that many more would be won to the Lord instead. Again, in our nation, we pray that we would have righteousness and truth, not the accepting of immorality in many ways, with the so-called Equality Act that is proposed, and that there may not be election reform, so-called, that makes things worse, but that we would find truth, O Lord, according to your direction. Guide us as a congregation, with all our officers, certainly be with our home and foreign mission works that we help support in the RCUS, be with Peace Reformed at Garner and with Reverend Larson. Pray for your blessings upon that congregation. May they seek your will and that you would guide and direct them. In all things we know, we are dependent upon you, and even for the upholding of human life, that protection that is only fitting and right, and certainly for the unborn, we do pray for that, O God. Help us to hear your word. Help me to proclaim it, and that you would work in our hearts and our minds, in our lives, that you would be honored, and that we would be built up in faith and service to you. Again, we pray it all through Christ our Lord, in his holy name. Amen. Let us turn then also to hymn number 712, 712, O God of love, O King of peace, as we stand and proclaim our need of the Lord in our lives and in our nation. Passage for the sermon today is 1 Timothy chapter 2, first 7 verses. 1 Timothy 2, starting at verse 1, as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now, it is appropriate, of course, for Americans and certainly for American Christians to remember and celebrate the 4th of July. Yes, we can celebrate the birth of our nation with the Declaration of Independence on that date in 1776. For our God sets up nations, and Christians are to be good citizens, according to the Scriptures. We especially have reason to be thankful when the Founding Fathers wanted a nation that would heed God's holy word. In fact, some wanted a biblical sermon more than any other type of celebration to remember that Independence Day. Oh, truly, we have much to thank our God for when our government was established to uphold the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And again, you know, that's what the Declaration said, and it was much carried out in policies that were set up. Not perfectly, but we know that they pursued that direction. And so you and I should pray, dear ones, with thankfulness, yet also pray for real change where those rights are being minimized and the Word of God is not being followed. As the Apostle Paul exhorts here, let us consider then government we are to desire, and certainly it is to be one to heed the Bible. Let us pray for that. That means to pray for the purposes of government, and secondly, for government favorable to the gospel of Christ. Well, again, Paul wrote in this letter to Timothy of how the truth of God is to be followed in the church and in worship, in all kinds of order, and in believers' lives. Hearing of and believing on Christ is of first importance in our worship, obviously. But then comes prayer as next important. You know, our Catechism 116 states it, that prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And the various terms for it here in our passage certainly show the richness of prayer intended for self and others. And so, beloved, we are each told to pray. Pray for protection, peace, and order. Yes, the apostle exhorts or urges, calls for various prayers and giving of thanks, as he says, for all kinds of people, really, who are in governmental authority here. For the all men to be prayed for, well, that cannot reasonably mean every human being on the planet. It is defined in verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, or all types of civil office. And we must admit, though evil is done all too often by human government, national life without any control for good would be far worse. Far worse. And yet, you know, that is what some rebellious protesters are really calling for, what they have said they want. We don't want government really controlling anything, as it were. And various politicians have also called for defunding the police, for instance. And yet, with the rapid rise of crime where that is attempted, even some of those are backing off. They try to accuse conservatives now of promoting such defunding for the police. How absurd is that lie? In any case, prayer for other nations would follow as well here with this command of the apostle. Oh, certainly giving of thanks for blessings that we have received already in America is most fitting and necessary. And as one wrote, giving of thanks is the aspect of true prayer that will continue forever after the perfect world has come. Yes, God's people, true believers, will be worshiping and thanking God forever. certainly we're to thank him for our blessings even here and now. And so, brothers and sisters, we may easily, however, forget reasons for thankfulness. We may do that when we see great evils in our land and we plead with God for true change in those ways. However, we are still to give thanks that in America we have a level of protection and peace and order. Yes, we have much security yet, rather than anarchy or the chaos of not having any government to restrain evil and uphold the good. Clearly, government should, though, protect our borders from those who would bring us harm, which is not being done so much lately. Indeed, as Romans 13 declares, authorities are to restrain evil and uphold good according to God's commandments, according to what he says. That's what's right. That's what is to be followed in all lands. And so for protection, peace, and order to continue and increase for citizens and for Christ's church, we are commanded to pray for governmental power to be rightly exercised. Therefore, dear ones, let us pray for our leaders. Yes, our governmental leaders, even if they are unbelieving, even if they are consciously enemies of Christ's church. And yes, if they are corrupt, they must be prayed for as we pray for their repentance or else their removal from office. Thereby, as it is said, Christian citizens can influence the course of a nation. Yes, we can, for truly, prayer for those in power is to be remembered at all times. Remembered not just when there is a special crisis. We have seen that, you know. It's when, you recall back to 9/11, when our nation was attacked. Oh, lots of people were in church then for a short time. People who had not been were coming and supposedly crying out to God. Well, we need to be serious in our prayers at all times, of course. Well, remember that the evil, cruel, murderous Emperor Nero was in power over the Mediterranean world when Paul wrote this, and to pray for even him. And there were many lesser authorities to be prayed for as well, obviously. And therefore, from what we're told, you and I are to pray for the purposes of our government. We're to remember that. And with protection, peace, and order, as in verse 2, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And certainly if we had war ongoing, that would be, you know, more, it would be that we could not live in such quietness and so forth. With peace and security, however, that government can bring, we can have quiet and tranquil lives. And the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ can be freely proclaimed. That is most important, certainly. Well, the word quiet there means to be free from outward disturbance, and peaceable means a life of inner peace. And you can know this protection that government is to provide, yet does not mean that it can stop all consequences of foolishness, such as with overspending and borrowing and so forth, when it does that. Nor can it take over all healthcare, for example, and do well with that. No, we need also protection from the misuse of governmental power when it seeks to meddle, control, or regulate all of life. Our physical protection, peace, and order is its true business, not controlling all commercial business. Also, times we know that to have protection, to have safety for its citizens, there is just reason for war. Such a time is when we are attacked, or future attacks upon us are being planned and will be carried out if we do not fight for our security. Certainly, nations that have supported terrorists intent on our destruction are to be stopped by our federal government if they can. Yet we are always to pray for peace, even as we sang of that. Pray for peace, along with the stopping of evil, of course. Well, as for our own culture, when evils are tolerated or promoted even, such as abortion, homosexuality, or transgenderism now, that clearly calls for continued prayer that our government would do its duty in those areas in standing for what is right. Thankfully, there have been some rulings protecting Christian businesses, for example, that were being persecuted by unbelievers. And yet we read of how new lawsuits are pursued all the time, it seems, by those who reject biblical truth and authority and its morality. Well, obviously, beloved, we are not to call for or pray for violent attacks on abortionists and others. Yet to pray for peace and calmness means we will pray for an end of those wicked practices. Clearly, there can be no so-called peace through just accepting evil in our land. So again, with that, let us pray that there, no so-called Equality Act will be passed. Pray that it will not be passed in Congress, or else it will be required that all manner of sexual perversion be accepted in society, in businesses, and churches even, as is already done in places with local laws supporting that. And of course, we ourselves are called to live in godliness or religious devotion with reverence and proper dignity, as told here. And so, dear ones, if we follow the ways of the Lord, that will, yes, it will promote righteousness and peace. And you and I must strive to be blameless in our conduct and our attitude toward God and people according to His commandments. There we will help to promote protection, peace, and order ourselves and be good citizens of the land. Yes, let us pray for that, as Christians are to further the purposes of government. That also includes prayer for government in the promotion of Christ's kingdom. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is, of course, King of kings and Lord of lords, having all authority over heaven and earth. And so earthly governments are under His rule now, and they are to promote His kingdom. As our Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 36 states, civil government is not only to watch for the welfare of the civil state, but also to protect the sacred ministry, that the kingdom of Christ may thus be promoted. Well, obviously, that purpose is quite different from what we usually hear and what is being done so often. It's different from a past ruling of the U.S. Supreme Court that the Ten Commandments, for example, could be on public property, but not in a courthouse, as that would be a, quote, promotion of religion. And yet, you know, the Ten Commandments are still engraved on the Supreme Court building itself as the true basis of righteous law. Oh, you see, the most founding fathers wanted the true religion, meaning God's law and Christianity, promoted. What they didn't want was simply a particular denomination favored, as in other lands, as in England. Indeed, as George Washington said, it is impossible to govern rightly without God and the Bible. How we need the Lord's truth to direct us again. As our text shows, the greatest reason for protection by government is to ensure that the saving kingdom of Christ will go forth to society and certainly in the church. Again, let us always give thanks that we can gather peaceably here, gather for public worship in accord with our nation's laws. Yes, the Bill of Rights tells us we can do that. Let us thank our God and pray for greater promotion, though, of the Lord's kingdom in praying for all in authority. Again, when we are to pray for all men or all types of people, we cannot just think of our own interests within the Lord's kingdom, but truly all types in and under authority are to be prayed for, that we may have a society of greater righteousness and peace. And you know, the larger the scope of our prayers, as for all these groups, the larger becomes our vision for God's kingdom. And so again, it's not just for the salvation of authority figures that you and I must pray, but that their power may be justly exercised. And then if the Lord wills, we will have greater peace in our national life. Well, it's interesting also to note that the early Caesar Augustus required the priests at Jerusalem even to offer a daily sacrifice, not to him, but on his behalf and for the following emperors. But when the Jews stopped that practice, even of praying for the government over them, war with Rome began in 66 AD. Clearly, when God raises up governments, as it is said in Romans 13, he expects his people to pray for them. In any case, our prayers are not merely to be that you and I will have a life of ease here, but that the church may have peace and Christ's kingdom will be so promoted. Of course, we're utterly dependent upon his will. The Lord may advance the faith and diligence of Christians through times of persecution. He has done that also. Indeed, in our time, we know how unbelievers may decry Christianity as so being even a crutch for the weak, which people turn to in times of trouble. Instead, as I've said, true faith is to be our serious way of life always. We're always to pray that we may live in godliness and reverence. And as verse 3 states, such prayer and desire is good and acceptable or pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Now, dear ones, clearly what pleases our Lord must be your and my standard for our prayers, for our worship, our lives. It cannot be our mere personal preferences that we seek. And so let us always pray that all authorities will acknowledge Christ's kingdom again and promote it, along with the public preaching of God's holy word. Yes, we and all Christians in the world are to pray for these good purposes of civil government and give thanks for the measure that they are carried out. Secondly, we pray for government favorable to the gospel of Christ. That is not just for the Lord's rule generally in some way, but I mean not a mere passive allowing of the gospel, promoting it in that way, but to favor it over all other religious thought. Yes, that's what our government's to do. It does not here just call for a supposed general acknowledgement that Christ rules in heaven, and then we do whatever we want. Rather, a favoring of the good news of salvation in Christ is what civil government is to be about. For God's saving character and desire for all men to be saved, verse 4, calls for that prayer. It calls for actions also by the civil government that is favorable to the gospel. Of course, God does not savingly choose all men to be saved, or they would be. But the whole context tells us that God truly desires and determines that all types of people everywhere will be redeemed, though not every last one. Therefore, we are to pray for rulers favorable to the gospel, that it may be heard, that it may be heard in all nations. Well, in talking of this desire of God, it is certainly true that the Lord has a general benevolence toward all individuals. He is kind to all, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, 45, making the sun to rise on the evil and the good, on the just and the unjust. And so, yes, in a general way, God cries out also to all who hear of our Lord's saving work at the cross and his resurrection, calling them outwardly to repent and believe. He did it as with the whole nation of Israel. The Lord said to them, as in Ezekiel 33:11, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? He calls to all who hear his word in that way. And yet, the desire for man's salvation in our text, well, that means more than a general desire for mankind's good life here, but that all kinds who are his chosen may truly hear and respond and have eternal salvation. To that end, which is really for the sake of God's elect, all nations are to favor the gospel. You know, presidents in the past acknowledged that favor for the gospel. Andrew Jackson, for example, spoke of the Bible as the foundation of our republic. Indeed, the true message of verse 5 of one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, is to be favored by our government. That is why the gospel is linked here to the prayers for those authorities. Well, as for Jesus being that mediator between God and man, you might think of, a bridge as an illustration. Indeed, a literal road bridge over the Maumee River was replaced in Napoleon, Ohio, when my family and I lived there. And certainly state government was involved in approving that bridge, approved all the plans and so forth, as it was to connect both sides of the town again. And the bridge had to be well secured at both sides, of course, to be effective. Our Lord Jesus Christ is like a bridge, being the only mediator who is God and man, who alone can bring us together to have life with the triune God. And so the peaceable life ultimately is found only in Him, in Christ who obtained salvation at His cross as a ransom, we're told here, for all types of people. He secures that life for believers forever. And so, yes, this true gospel of Jesus as the bridge to God is to be favored by government. Our authorities are not to be open to any other belief or to promote any false religion or cult. No, acknowledging Christ as Savior, being God and man in one person, is, you know, that's plain elsewhere in Paul. That is what the founding fathers did, really, as a whole. Yes, most of them acknowledged that through Christ's sacrifice alone, believers are heard by God. We're heard in our prayers through Christ as our mediator, including those prayers for the nation and its peace. Without Jesus, oh, so many of those founding fathers, they said, we are all naturally slaves of sin, as the Bible declares. But Jesus gave Himself to be the mediator, to be the redeemer, the perfect ransom or exchange price for sinners. He did it to free all His followers from sin and condemnation. And so, beloved, let us give thanks to our God for the ways our government has favored and provided for the gospel to be heard in the past. Any ways it still does. Congress, you know, endorsed the first printing of the Bible in our country, for instance. And so again, may our civil leaders favor the gospel in greater measure in our time and reject the atheists who want to remove all knowledge of God from our society. Truly, brothers and sisters, you and I are to pray for government favorable to this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the one way of salvation may be heard in our land and in all nations. Lastly, that means praying that it may be believed in all nations, of course. Well, a place where all types of people might come to the knowledge of the truth, believe and be saved, that was the society that, you know, the pilgrims, Puritans, other believers desired here and elsewhere. By the way, the majority of early Americans, even into the 1800s at least, were Calvinists, believing in Christ's sovereign rule, and they trusted that the Lord God had His elect in all groups and nations. And so they wanted the gospel to go forth and to see the effect of that, trusting in the Lord's sovereign will. Indeed, they wanted government favorable, I say, so that many would be delivered from sin's guilt, slavery, and punishment, from alienation from God, from His wrath, and from eternal death. They wanted many to know Christ truly, and so to have righteousness in Him, to have freedom and blessedness in fellowship with God, to have His love and eternal life with Him ahead. Well, likewise for us and others, to know the whole revelation of God in Christ must be our aim, certainly. Now, that is how You and I are to grow spiritually, to learn more of Him, even through His Word. And yes, that's saving faith. Rejoicing in our God, then, desiring to live in thankfulness by following His commands, will make each one to be a good citizen also. Clearly, that is only fitting, for the saving work of Jesus is, as in verse 6, to be testified in due time to all lands. Yes, everywhere, for salvation to be spread. Along with that, beloved of God, you can know that one of the greatest reasons for you and me to be thankful for America is that from our country, multitudes of missionaries have taken the message of Christ to the various places and the peoples of the world, and of course that is God's purpose for Christians within a nation to carry out. Paul knew that, as he said, he was appointed a preacher and an apostle so that others, Gentiles like us, could come to living faith in the truth of Jesus Christ. Clearly, Timothy was aware of that. He knew of that calling of the Apostle Paul. But there were false teachers at Ephesus who denied he was sent by God. And that explains why Paul says it so strong in verse 7, that he was not lying, so that others, that this letter might also be read in the congregation, that they would hear it. Yes, preachers and missionaries today must also proclaim, bring Christ's message of the gospel, not our opinions or society's changing ideas. They can change like the wind, and so do. Therefore, let us each pray that this message of salvation in Christ will be heard and believed here and in all lands, and that no government would hinder it, nor hinder evangelism and the edification of God's people. Again, as we celebrate the blessings we have in America, let each one thank God for the freedoms that we have yet in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And may true happiness be seen more and more by us and by all as found in seeking God's will, as the founding fathers did. They said that was the way of blessedness, and many state governments and their constitutions, of course, show that, declaring it, that they wanted to be submissive to God through the rule of Christ. Yes, they were willing, those founders, as they said it, willing to risk their lives and their fortunes to have such a land where the Scriptures would guide all things, including the civil government. And so, beloved, let us continue to pray in gratitude and zeal for these purposes in government and for the favoring of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray together then. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we praise You for the freedoms we have, that we can even gather and worship, that we can hear Your word, that we can have Bibles, we can have that truth declared, and that we can believe it and seek to follow it. And we pray again that our land, our nation, would more and more submit to You and Your word, to Your directions. Yes, may our governmental leaders promote that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else, no false religion, no cult, no lie of the devil, but the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is that only mediator between God and man, that He is the one who came and gave His life so freely and willingly, even at the cross, after His perfect obedience, and that He suffered there in obedience, bearing that wrath of God for Your people. Thank You for Your faithfulness, for Your mercies, for all the blessings we've had in the history of our nation, and may we indeed cry out to You always, pray to You, seek Your will, and that that would not be hindered, certainly by governmental laws or regulations, but that the truth of the gospel would go forth. Help us to be Your witnesses also. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, guide and direct us. We do give You thanks. We pray for Your glory above all and for our good as You see fit through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we do pray together as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us turn to our last hymn then, number 441. 441, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun, as we stand to sing. The Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.